This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's our health show. Welcome. It's Meera Sivasuthi. Modern life is rife with stress, both self-imposed and otherwise. One of the side effects of this stress is potentially jaw pain, and that could lead to other conditions or be a symptom of something more serious. Professor Kuswan Peck, oral physician, joins me today. Welcome, Professor. How are you today?
Hi, Meera. Good afternoon.
Back for your monthly show as usual.
Great to be back here.
You know, when I was reading all about jaw pain, all that came up was this word, temporomandibular disorders. And temporomandibular is actually part of the jaw. It's used to explain. Could you just tell me a little bit more about what it is before we go on?
Sure. The word temporomandibular joint is actually an anatomical label that you use. But when we say jaw pain, it doesn't necessarily always have to be due to the joint. And this is a very important message because a lot of people think just because we have a jaw joint, any pain in the jaw is due to the joint. Mm-hmm. We've got toothache, we've pain in the muscles, pain in the jaws, pain in the cheeks, pain. So we've got to assess that properly.
Okay, so where do we locate pain? I mean, when someone comes to you with pain, right? So where? How do you locate the pain?
Well, most of the time, the patient will be able to locate it for us by saying, it's here, doctor, it's here. So we have a look and we kind of zoom in, but whatever they say does not necessarily mean they've made a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. We will then have to counter-examine.
Okay. And do you want to go through the physical structure of the jaw with me?
So your jaw joint is the joint in your jaw. So if you put a finger in front of your ear, right or left ear, mm-hmm. and you open and close your mouth, yep. you can actually feel something going on underneath your finger.
Yep.
That's where the jaw joint is. It's complex as in a shopping complex. Mm-hmm. So it's made up of your skull, it's made up part of your skull, it's made up of your jaw which moves, and it's separated by a little cushion. That's your disc. So that whole thing is your jaw joint.
Okay. And when you talk about jaw pain, is it most likely coming from the joint? And are we referring to the temporomandibular joint?
Right. If we think it is due to the jaw joint, it's got to be only that one jaw joint. Mm-hmm. There's only one jaw joint. I mean, one on each side. But then we got to find out which part of the complex is the one causing the problem. Because the complex could be due to inflammation around it, capsulitis. It can be due to the muscles around it. It could be the joint itself, as in a hinge joint of your door. So when your door is creaking, it could be due to the hinge itself, it could be due to supporting structures itself, which is your muscles in your jaw joint. So we really need, we clinicians, we have to actually locate where or specifically which is the one which is problematic, because mm-hmm. the treatment is different.
Of course. And when you have patients coming through your door, sure. Today, in this day and time, what are they coming with in relation to jaw pain? What are the causes of this jaw pain?
Okay, where I am is a university setting, so very often it's a tertiary referral place. By which time they come to us, they have been through the primary care, mm-hmm. You know, they have not improved, that sort of thing. But when people actually walk into your clinic, they don't necessarily say, I have got jaw joint pain. They probably tell you, what's the problem with you? Oh, I've got pain here. And the here, they will point to the front of your ear or around the jaw, and we will have to decide by examination and history whether it's a toothache, and that's most obvious if it is, and we've got to treat that first. People tend to Google these days because it's so convenient, and they think everything else is TMJ, and TMJ is temporomandibular joint, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because you feel as though you can't open. You feel there's pain there, and it doesn't necessarily always be due to that. We have to eliminate infection if you've got the toothache. So that we have to do.
But then there are temporomandibular disorders as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
Yeah? What are they?
So back to your question, when they come to you, a lot of people have jaw joint pain. But believe it or not, only about 5% actually come in seeking for treatment. Most of the others, they know they've got clicking here and there. They kind of dismiss it. And because this is not a disease, mm-hmm. it is a disorder. So it comes and goes. So it's cyclical, it's episodic. And because it goes away, people tend to be a little bit more reassured. Mm-hmm. So when they actually come to us, it is when they can't do anything anymore. The pain is so unbearable. That's the 5%.
But what brings about the disorder?
Okay, what brings about disorder? It's actually multifactorial, I like to say. And stress is overrated. A lot of people say, oh, we've got stress, so your muscles are in spasm. In a way, it's true, but stress does not actually bring on this disorder. It makes it worse. That's mm-hmm. true. Sometimes you've traumatized your jaw joint, you've bitten on something very hard, suddenly acute, or you have opened your jaw or mouth suddenly too fast, too wide, that sort of thing, that trauma. Or it could be due to a stress over a period of time where then your muscles begin to be in a little contracted or spasmodic, and that's when you feel the pain.
Right.
Yeah.
And people can experience the locked jaw feeling. I remember back in the day, the locked jaw was always related to when
tetanus.
Yes,
yeah. That's
you,
true.
You get scratched or poked by a nail, go get a tetanus jab.
Tetanus jab.
Or you're gonna get a locked jaw.
That's true. Yeah.
But we've overcome that.
Sure. No, we all, even myself, we all grew up with that knowledge that every locked jaw is due to that rusty tin. Mm, that
yes.
That's true. I mean, can't help it. So we have to educate the patient to say, no, that locked jaw you're talking about is not this locked jaw. This locked jaw is a jaw which is locked, but not really locked. It's because the cushion I mentioned earlier is slightly displaced. So that smooth opening and closing without sound is now disrupted mm-hmm. because it is standing in the way. So you do have clicking sounds, and that clicking sound can progress into pain. And sometimes when that displacement is jammed in one side, that's when you have a locked jaw. Mm-hmm. You try to open, try as you may, the jaw just doesn't want to open.
Is it because of a disc? That fluid, is it what? Synovial fluid, for an example?
The disc is within that fluid. So it is not floating as in the float that you wear when you swim. It is held on by ligaments and muscles, that sort of thing. When that ligaments have been pulled or the muscles have been pulled, so therefore the disc becomes displaced. When I say displaced, it's not totally dislocated. Mm-hmm. That's different. I'll come to that later. When you have a dislocated joint, we are talking about a location which is not there anymore. So the whole joint becomes dislocated. This is when you open your mouth and you find you can't close at all. So you walk around with that open mouth. And that's often very, very painful.
Does that happen quite often?
From time to time. But what we're talking about, the disc displacement, is much more often than this dislocation. So so people need to know the difference between a jaw dislocation. This is when you open and you can't close back mm-hmm. anymore because the jaw joint is dislocated away from its location. When you have a disc cushion which is displaced slightly, most of the time you just have clicking sound, but when it's jammed, then you won't be able to open wide. That's about it. But you don't walk around with a huge mouth open. Not because you can't close it. It's very mechanical.
Yes, yeah. It is. An abscessed tooth can affect the jaw? How?
It doesn't affect, it doesn't cause a jaw joint problem, but when you have an abscessed tooth, the infection or the abscess or the pus spreads, and it can spread to neighbouring structures, and the muscles of your mastication, your muscles then tend to be a bit more guarded because it's trying to contain it. This is when we call it trismus, meaning you can't open your jaw wide. And very often patients will say, I've got throbbing pain, I've had this for so long. These are not signs of a typical temporomandibular joint disorder. These are infection due to tooth abscess. So we got to remove that tooth abscess or do something to it and you'll be okay. Whereas a jaw joint thing is a different thing altogether.
Okay.
But so they come to you and say, I've got jaw pain.
It's nerves, isn't it? Playing a role as well when it comes to pain?
Of course. Yes. This is when, when your nerve feel the sensation, the inflammation is stimulating your nerve, and you feel pain. Mm-hmm. So therefore, patients only feel, I've got jaw pain. Could it be the joint? Because Google says so.
Teeth grinding. I think a lot of people grind their teeth in their sleep without even realizing it.
That's true.
And this can bring about stress on the jaw.
It does. But having said that, there are also quite a number of people who grind their teeth and do not have TMD.
Okay.
So what happens is when you grind your teeth, you're actually overworking your jaw muscles over time when you should be sleeping, that sort of thing. So when the muscles are overworked over time and it is in spastic state most of the time instead of zero relaxed manner. So when somebody works over time, you start to have pain. That can happen. So for grinders, sometimes we try to give them something to wear so that this will disocclude. The two teeth, upper and lower, do not meet. And if you don't meet, you can grind. Mm-hmm. That's all. So there's special appliances for that to try to break that habit.
Okay. I mean, teeth grinding has got other problems as well that come along with it.
That's true.
The habitual chewing gum can bring about TMD as well?
I would say it when you do it at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because everywhere advertisements tell you to have very healthy jaw... chew gum. So people do that. The Americans do that all the time, right? The youngsters, they do that. But when I think you are susceptible to that, or when you already have some muscle spasm, and when you do that, you are aggravating because your jaws are being overworked. Mm. So depending on time and place.
Okay. When shouldn't we chew gum?
When we feel our jaws are a little tight, as in you feel sensations different, or you think you've got headache, because these are the common symptoms which people don't recognize. It could be part and parcel of joint pain. So people come to you and say, I got headache. But where is the headache? It is the ache in the muscles that's holding up the joint. So it could be a jaw joint problem. So if you feel you're having some kind of a headache, or your jaws feel a bit tight, you feel that you can't open as wide as you used to, you start to have clicking sound, these are signs and symptoms to tell you better not do overwork. Mm-hmm. Don't chew hard food, don't chew the gum, that sort of thing.
Right. Okay. We're discussing jaw pain with Professor Dr. Koo Swan Peck. She's an oral physician. If you have a question for her, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture. And of course, in the studio with me, oral physician, Professor Dr. Koo Swan Peck. We're discussing jaw pains. You know, when it comes to the jaw, Dr. Koo, earlier on you mentioned there's a big difference between a dislocated joint and a displacement.
Disc.
Could you just explain again the difference before so that we're clear about the difference?
So as I said, if it is displaced, means the placement is out. So what is being out, the cushion is out. The cushion is between your jaw joint and your skull, and that cushions your impact of your function eating food. When that disc is slightly displaced, you start to feel clicking sound, and it can get jammed. It is stuck at some point, and when that happens, you can't open fully. So that's when patients come and complain, and I try but I can't. This location, on the other hand, we often refer to it as jaw dislocated, meaning the whole jaw is moved to another position.
How does that happen?
You see, what is preventing our jaw from dropping down to the floor is because it is held up by muscles, basically. And that's a controlled situation. When you open and you close, the jaw will drop down and move forward. And it can move up to a certain extent, which is why our mouth opening is like between 40 to 50 something millimeters. That's about it. What is stopping it is a little projection of bone in your skull. We call it the eminence. So it can move right up to just before the tip of the eminence, like a little projection. If somehow the jaw is being pulled forward by some force, by trauma, when you're hit suddenly, or when your ligaments are loose, so it will just drop down. So it's dropped down, it will go beyond this projection, so therefore it is this located. Mm-hmm. It is out of its location. So how does this jaw get back underneath the projection to get back to where it is?
Yep.
You can't. Can't because the muscles which are guarding it is all in tension now. You're not supposed to be there, but you're there, so they're all in spasm. So most of the time, we have to beat that force of that muscle. Patients often have to see a doctor. You go to the ER, to the emergency, doctor will have to give some muscle relaxant mm-hmm. so that their muscles are totally loose and then they can push back this jaw behind this eminence.
Does that hurt?
It hurts if you do not give the local anesthesia, mm. that sort of thing. So this location is a very different thing. So meaning when that jaw is gone beyond that eminence, you can't go back. So what happens when you're beyond that? Your jaw is open the whole time. It is when it can get back to its origin, but it can close back. So patients have, they don't even wait 2 days. Within a couple of hours, they say, I can't close. Mm-hmm. I can't close. So you really have to do something fast.
We so underestimate things like this, don't we?
Do, we do, don't we? Our
no,
jaw joint.
Who would have thought? You know, how important the muscles are. And can you keep those muscles healthy and maintain them?
So they say, chew the gum. But it has to be done.
At the right time.
At the right time, right place. So, yes, I mean, what keeps the muscles healthy would be the stress, that you physical, mental stress that will stimulate the muscles. You want them to be relaxed most of the time. So there are many inputs that cause the muscle to be in spasm. One very important factor is stress, but it doesn't cause. If the muscle is already slightly tense, and with your mental activity, your depression, anxiety, that sort of thing, it can further compromise it. And this is when they say, it is not they say, in the last 10 years or so, mm-hmm. this biopsychosocial model of jaw joint pain is very fashionable. Unlike in the early days where clinicians will say, you got a jaw joint, let's look inside, see whether we can replace your jaw joint or trim down your teeth. That's no longer, that doesn't hold anymore. So what's current is psychological factors play a very important role in people who have temporomandibular joint.
And this is, of course, after loads of studies have been done.
Oh, yes.
You know, to actually find out.
Very evidence-based,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought stress and your joint pain, I mean, your jaw joint, you know. As I said, we just take it all for granted. How do we know that the jaw pain isn't representing a systemic problem?
Well, we have to get this history from the patient as to when they thought it came on. Did it come associated with other headache, compromised neurological deficits? Is their vision normal? Are they feeling any numbness here and there? So we need to eliminate these other things which might look like jaw joint pain. Mm-hmm. And also the other important thing is a cardiac disease.
Yes, I was going to come to that. Your whole arteries or your coronary artery disease might actually be associated to joint pain or jaw pain.
Jaw pain. It can, when you have a referred pain, if you have a chest pain, maybe a pending myocardial infarct, mm-hmm. and patients will start to feel some pain in the jaw, and usually it's radiating from down there up to your neck, mm-hmm. to both sides of your jaw, both okay. sides, and it gets worse with exertion. When you sit down, it gets better. A normal jaw joint pain doesn't behave like that.
Okay, we're going to take this question from Gopal in a very positive manner. We're going to take it as, you know, in information towards maybe self-defense, sure. in this era when, you know, most of us are fending off snatch thefts and stuff like that. Now, Gopal is saying, why is a punch to the jaw usually more effective to knock out a person than an equivalent punch to the head?
Well, I think it depends on where in the jaw that impact is falling on. You see, because the jaw, the mandible, the jaw, is vulnerable in certain areas. If you hit it on one area, it will probably break in another area. Mm-hmm. So depending on where the blow is applied onto, it might cause such an effect. But is it because our skull is, the cranium, is thicker? It is less vulnerable. But the brain within it, which is encased by the cranium is protected. So if you want to knock somebody off, you might either cause a great concussion, a great shift in the brain before he actually loses consciousness. Mm. The other thing about hitting the jaw would be it is easy, it is exposed, it is something people will probably not expect. You know, you'll be protecting your eye mm-hmm. and your ear and your nose, but probably not your jaw.
Yeah.
So if the assailant is hitting a blow on your jaw, we will probably be, we the victim, will be taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps, or victim, and so similarly the assailant, if you want to hit him on the jaw, might be taking him by surprise. I would imagine that's more practical than the anatomy or physiology of the jaw.
Okay. One more question. Do all, you know, people who've passed on, right, you tend to find that their jaws sort of fall open. Is there a reason for that? What's going on?
When we die, mm-hmm. our muscles lose tension. So it drops down. It's relaxed. It is no longer holding up the jaw.
As it should be when we're asleep.
When we're asleep, there's still some tension because we're still alive.
Okay.
There is a certain amount of tension on your muscles. But when we're dead, it's zero. What is to hold it up? You just drop down.
Mm-hmm.
But drop down to the length of the muscle that holds it. It still won't drop down to the floor.
Sure.
So it drops up.
Yeah.
And then the undertaker will probably try to close it back again.
Right.
And it might stay there because then, you know, there's still something being, you know.
They know how to do it.
They know how to do it.
Yep,
that's
okay.
Right.
So that's the reason why it falls down. Ear and sinus infections can also lead to jaw pain.
Well, they don't really lead to jaw pain, but they may disguise themselves like a jaw pain. Spread of infection from those areas, it can spread to the jaw joint area.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very unlikely for these infections to actually penetrate into the complex. Most of the time when you have ear or sinus infection, it is spreading to the muscles around it. So you feel a jaw ache, and so you say jaw pain. And then you will say very quickly, this is jaw joint pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. So the other thing is because the ear is just next door to the joint. So if you put your little finger inside your ear and try and open and close your mouth, you can feel the jaw movement in your finger.
Mm-hmm.
It's as close as that. It's like when your neighbor is knocking a nail in the wall of his house. Your wall, you can feel it, you can hear it as well, as close as that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you've got jaw pain.
Okay. For those people who have a protruding jaw, does that lead to jaw pain as well?
No, it usually doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that protruding jaw happened overnight, as in when you were traumatized in an accident or in a trauma where somehow your jaw is totally displaced. Yes, in that situation, yes. But what you're referring to, I believe, is the when you're born with a protruding jaw,
yes.
It started on the first day that you were born. Over a period of time, you've adjusted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Okay. And self-care practices and changes that we can implement as patients to avoid, you know, jaw pain?
Avoidance of jaw pain would be doing the pertinent things, such as, you know, if you're susceptible to it, you tend to have very tight muscles after you've chewed some nuts for a while, you think you may be more susceptible. So what do you do to prevent the onset of more severe complications? Stay away from tough food, hard food, or food which are chewy, including chewing gum, and open your mouth too wide, too fast, too soon, that sort of thing. But when you already have the signs and symptoms, you may need lots more rest. Soft diet, a hot towel compress, maybe certain prescribed jaw exercises, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you visit a clinician who knows this, they may be able to advise you some home care program that you
okay.
can follow.
And the home, talking about home care program, there is a suggestion to bite on a cotton ball soaked with oil of cloves. What does that achieve? Is there much scientific backing to how that works?
I think whoever suggested this, they're actually referring to infection in the teeth because oil of cloves have got this effect that will reduce your pain and inflammation. But when we're talking about temporal mandibular joint or jaw joint problem, I don't think this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
This will work if you have a toothache. disguising like your jaw can't open.
Right.
So you bite on this and this will seep into your tooth pain area. It will reduce the pain. So it's for toothache.
Okay. Hot or cold packs
plus,
the jaw?
Plus it's antiseptic. So it's for infection.
But also even if it's a toothache, it's just temporary. I mean, you need to go and sort it out.
You have to sort it out because otherwise you're sitting on infection which might grow into spread of, you know, elsewhere.
All sorts of other issues.
Yeah. Okay. You were saying hot and cold packs, sorry.
Hot and cold packs. Do those work for jaw pain?
They do. And cold packs, usually when you have a visible swelling, if it is acute. Hot packs, usually if it is chronic, and usually if there's no swelling, if you use those at the wrong place at the wrong time, it aggravates. So if you do have swelling and it's acute and you use hot pack, you're going to make it worse. So basically, cold packs for acute trauma, and if there's swelling, put on cold. And if you feel you've had this for quite a while, you're using hot because the hot pack is going to increase the circulation in an area and remove those pain chemicals away.
When is surgery required for joint jaw pain?
If it is a true jaw joint temporal mandibular disorder, almost hardly ever. Because what are you going to remove? You can't remove the disc nor the head of the jaw, that sort of thing. So it's only used when none of these conservative measures are amenable anymore. Example, say for example, a person has an accident or trauma, and during the healing, the head of the jaw has fused together with the skull. It has happened, an over bone production. That's ankylosis. So when that happens, you can't open. So you do need surgery to tease that out. What is more often is a very minimally invasive surgery called arthroscopy, where they put a scope, a mini camera into your joint to look at it and see where the problem is. That's arthroscopy. It's very minimally invasive. You can do it on the chair.
Okay.
Not you, the clinician, the specialist. Or you use arthrosynthesis. Arthro means joint. Synthesis is washout. So you can use a washout of the joint. Sometimes the disc is a bit stuck because the composition, the fluid becomes a bit thick. So it tends to be stuck. If you wash it out, you free it again. So that's about these two types of minimal invasive surgery rather than going in, cutting off something. Unless you do have a degenerative joint disease already, we may have to shape the head of the jaw or shape the disc, that sort of thing. Most of the time, 90%, it's all this conservative with medications and many other support.
Is there ever a time when the joint needs to be replaced?
Yes, when it is totally degenerated, the disc is gone out from its place, so it is bone rubbing against bone. So over a period of time, that gets exhausted and you start to have a gravel-like surface. You can't function, you may need to go in and replace the joint.
I'm just thinking, you know, is it the same as the knee pain that most of us experience and the lack of synovial fluid, and then you, there's something called PRP that you can do to create the, you know, fluid and the, to make it more moisturized, or, you know, what is the word that I'm looking for? Make it more
lubricated.
Yes, lubricated. That's Thank you very much. And does that apply to the jaw joint as well?
Yes, the jaw can also be affected by osteoarthritis. That's what you're actually referring to. You have osteoarthritis, which is actually a load-bearing joint disease.
Can it affect the jaw as well?
It can. So we tend to see this in slightly older patients, osteoarthritis, or a joint which has been the meniscus or the disc is totally displaced, bone rubbing against bone, and you start to have a degenerative joint. So yes, we may have to do that sort of thing, replace that, either replace mechanically with plates, screws, that sort of thing, or and you can inject this PRP, which will try to induce new growth, but still new in the joint, jaw joint. They've been used very successfully in the knee joint. So, yes, new horizons.
Great stuff, you know. And if Has there been much research and development or recent findings in terms of treating jaw pain?
So again, whatever we do, we've come one round. The conservative, which I mentioned, the home care, the self-care plus support, is probably the way to go, whatever you say. But what's important in the last 10 years, people are paying more attention on the psychosocial, psychological inputs of these. So nowadays, by right, when we assess jaw joint, it's no longer where is the pain. We try to go through a battery of psychological questionnaires to detect so that we can target the source of his stress.
Okay, which, you know, most likely is work and just
making
every day happen.
That's true.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Professor Dr. Khoo Swan Peck, oral physician on jaw pain on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.